Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, TK. Good morning, Philly. How everybody doing today? It's going to be a nice little weekend, man. Have fun this weekend. That's all I got.
Okay. It is going to be a good weekend in Philadelphia. My apologies. My headphones are a little messed up in here. But we're all good. Should be a good weekend in Philadelphia. A lot of stuff coming up. We got the trade deadline right around the corner. Big series for the Phils this weekend. Phils in New York taking on the Yankees. That's going to be a fun series to watch.
New York is expensive.
It is?
Yeah.
I haven't been to New York in a long time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't know why I asked that. Like, I didn't know that New York's expensive.
You can't get drunk in New York. Not really.
Yeah. Last time I was there, beers are like $12 at the bar there.
Man, it was
expensive. How does anybody afford to live in New York?
Man, I followed a site, right? And it talks about some of the craziest apartments and how much they cost. It was one apartment I saw was like $3,000 a month. But the bathroom, the shower was in the kitchen. You know, it was a small space. And I'm like you, do you have to, for the people that are living in New York like that, do you really have to be in New York to be living like that? Like in 1,500 square feet of space, like all together? Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like it's a little unnecessary. But a lot of stuff to get to throughout the course of the show today. We'll get to the Philly. Scott Fransky coming up later on in the show from New York. But where we'll start is the Eagles. We were down to Eagles training camp yesterday, Hugh. And, you know, as we go throughout training camp and we look at the Eagles and kind of how they stack up with other teams in the NFC, other teams around the NFL, you look at these rosters. And ESPN released yet another list, this one ranking the rosters in the NFL as we enter this season. And the Eagles, to some people's surprise, do not rank number one. They rank number two behind the Baltimore Ravens. Some people upset about this, but I don't understand why. Like, I look at this roster. I look at this team. Are the Eagles good? Yeah, the Eagles are really good. I mean, they obviously bring back a lot of talent from last year. But I don't look at this team and think that they're in a tier of their own. I think as this season begins, the Eagles have come back to the pack a little bit. You look at the defensive side of the ball. You've lost some players over there. We don't know if the replacements are going to be able to come in and fill in adequately immediately. I do not believe, as we enter this season, the Eagles are in a tier of their own. I want to get your thoughts on it. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Do you believe that the Eagles are in a tier of their own as they enter this season? Do you think they just pick up where they left off? Clearly the best team in football. I don't. I think it's a new season. You lost some players. I mean, I think there's reason to be confident that they can kind of, you know, fill in those gaps. But until we see it, I don't think you can just say that. And I don't have a problem with the Eagles being ranked behind the Ravens on this list, Hugh. I don't think they're in a tier of their own as we enter the season.
I find that pretty interesting that they have the Eagles ranked behind the Ravens. I guess that's because of the quarterback and how people feel about Lamar. But when I look at their depth chart and I look at the offense, because that's what we're talking about, I think, in my opinion, is that we're looking at these teams and we're grading them by their offensive firepower. Lamar Jackson, yeah. You know, Zay Flowers had a 1,000-yard season last year. 4 touchdowns, though. That don't jump out to me, you know. Who else they got? Rashad Bateman. I mean, you know, okay. But when you talk about the talent that the Eagles have, you talk about the offensive line. We have so many stars on one side of the ball that's where I feel – that's why I'm bullish about the Eagles. You know, not obviously not because I played here, but you talk about Saquon Barkley at running back. You're talking about A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith at receiver. You're talking about – did I say Saquon Barkley's name yet?
Didn't say his name yet.
I said Jahan Dotson, who looked like he was coming on towards the end of the year. Dallas Goedert, who had moments last year when he was healthy where he shined. And then that offensive line, man, when I think about this Eagles team and what they've been able to put together, you talk about 2 All-Pro tackles, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson. And that's a lot of talent that you have on your roster. You have a lot of talent on your roster. Cam Jurgens, center. That, to me, and they're all in their prime, that, to me, screams matchup problems for everybody.
Yeah, and I think they are a really good team. I mean, you look at this roster, it's one of the best in the NFL. But I look at some of these other rosters, too. I mean, the Ravens, they have a really good team. The Bills, they have a really good team. I don't think we can look at the Eagles and just say they're in a tier of their own and that nobody's anywhere close. I think these other teams are close, and I think it is a tight battle between these teams.
I will say this for this argument, and I think, again, I always preface it with this. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I think a lot of times when we make these lists, it always starts with the play of the quarterback. You know, that's how these things start. And Lamar Jackson is a hell of a quarterback, him and Josh Allen. But the talent that they have around them, say if they have an off game, they don't have enough talent around him. I'm going to say it like this because this is a good way to say it. They don't have enough talent around them to sustain them if the quarterback is not on top of his game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
The Eagles are in a position where they can win games if their quarterback is not playing well.
Right, and this is the way I look at it as far as that goes. I think they were last year. I think last year that was the case. And I am confident in this defense. I think the defense is going to be good. But like the truth is, like they did lose essentially half the starters on that side of the ball. I mean, you lost two quarters of your secondary. Mm-hmm. You lost a few guys up front. Milton Williams, I think, was a really good player. Josh Sweat, I mean, obviously was huge in the postseason. So I just don't think it's so clear that the Eagles still have the same kind of roster they had last year. I don't know if like they would be able to make up for that in the same way. Because in 2023, the defense wasn't able to make up for it when mm-hmm. Jalen didn't play well. They weren't able to overcome those things. And now losing some of those pieces on defense, I think it's fair to look at this roster and say they've come back to the pack a little bit. And I also think when we look at a team coming off a great season like the Eagles came off of, we always kind of just like assume it's going to pick up where they left off. In 2023, we kind of assume that team, okay, well, they were great in 2022. They're going to be the same way. And they were for a lot of the year. In the end, obviously, kind of fell apart. In 2018, like, I think we look back on it now and feel like, okay, well, we should have seen that team wasn't nearly as good as we expected. But at that time, we felt like, okay, well, they're going to pick up right where they left off. This team's going to have a chance to repeat. And just because you have one great year, I don't think that necessarily means you're going to be as great the next season, because we look at teams like the Patriots, we look at teams like the Chiefs, they're the exception. They're not the rule when it comes to Super Bowl champions and sustaining success. So I do think they've come back to the pack a little bit.
You know, it's funny. When we started this week, I think one of the first things we talked about was I was asked, do I feel that there's a hangover, right? And I said, yes. I said there's potential for a hangover. And I got to tell you, man, being down there, being around those guys, feeling their energy, feeling their focus, I don't feel the same way that I felt Monday. And, you know, I do know, let me say this. I do know that there is potential for it to be a letdown because, you know, anything can happen. All those intangibles that we talk about. But as far as their focus is concerned and what they're talking about, the one thing that I always look at when I look at teams and the teams that I've been on is if the players are echoing the sentiment of the coaches. And the one thing that jumped out to me, TK, the first day we were out there, it started with Coach Sirianni and it started with Howie. And they talked about, you know, certain words they didn't use, and they talked about being focused and getting ready for the next one. So we get the chance to talk to Quinyon Mitchell and a couple other guys, Nolan Smith, and they've echoed the same thing. So to me, that says that has been beating their head. You know, they know what they have to do. They know the work that they have to put in, and they know that they're in a sweet spot where if they want to keep this thing going, they have to get back to work. So that's why I feel good about it. I think that, and when you look at man's for man, when you line up against other teams, I think that's where the Eagles have their advantage because they have some seat. They're in a sweet spot of where they are as far as their careers are concerned, like all of them. They're in their prime and they're focused, you know. So I think with all of that being said, that puts them in a tier in their own because you have a lot of guys who are still viable players that are going to bring the other young guys along.
Yeah, and hey, I don't worry about it from a mentality perspective. Like, I think they're focused. I think they're saying all the right things, and I think they're doing all the right things. I just think from a roster standpoint, like, you look at it, of course, they have a lot of talent. Like, they have a lot of talent on this roster, but it's not the same team that it was last year. True. And I think they're going to need to prove, especially on defense, that these guys who are stepping in are going to be able to do the job. I mean, I look at, man, Darius Slay, I think, is a big loss. I mean, that he played really well last year.
Yeah.
You look at Milton Williams up front. Milton Williams, and obviously you weren't going to bring him back, but it's still a big loss in terms of the defense. I think talent-wise, they're going to need to show that these other guys behind them can step up, and that's why I don't think we can just go into the season and say, oh yeah, they're still clear-cut the number one team in football.
I think they are, because for me, what has always been is most of your resources have been allocated to the offensive side of the ball. The guys on defense are somewhat interchangeable. They're young. I look at this the same way I look at the Kansas City Chiefs defense a few years ago when they had those young corners out there and they were doing on-the-job training. That might be a little bit of this situation, you know? And I understand that it's going to be a slog when you talk about the tight schedule that they have. You know, you got, what, week three. You got the Rams coming into town, and they've already said that they got this game scheduled on the schedule.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's going to be tough, but I think that there's enough of a foundation, especially on that defensive side of the ball, that they might not be as dynamic as they were out the gate last year, but they're going to grow and get better like they did last year.
Yeah.
And this offense is going to – like the offense that we were supposed to see, TK, at the beginning of the year, I think that's going to have to carry it away a little bit at the beginning.
I agree. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494, do you feel like the Eagles are still in a tier of their own when it comes to roster? I don't. I think their roster is really good, but I don't think it's egregious to have a team like the Ravens ranked over them right now. I do think they've taken a little bit of a step back from a talent perspective on paper. We'll see how it plays out during the year. Last year at this time, we wouldn't have thought the Eagles had the best roster in football either, and it turned out they did. But I don't think we can look at it clearly right now and say they're in a tier of their own. Would love to get your take. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Kyle Quinn producing the show today. Kyle, do you think the Eagles are in a tier of their own when it comes to this roster?
I think they are firmly in the top tier amongst every other team in the NFL. But to say that they're in a tier of their own with how many question marks they have going into the season, I can't go there just yet. Like, they had to replace a lot of guys on the defense, and whether you think the defense is still going to be top five, top 10, whatever, I think we should all be counting on the defense taking a little bit of a step back. I mean, I understand everyone's so infatuated with Vic Fangio, and I love Vic Fangio. It was amazing what he did here last season.
Amazing.
But he does need talent, just like every other coach needs talent to be the best in the league. Like, if you just look at his ranks in years that he's been a defensive coordinator, he was number one in terms of yards last season as the Eagles' defensive coordinator. The year before in Miami, 10th. 8th the year before that, 21st, 12th. Like, Vic Fangio has had middle of the pack to, you know, bottom level of the pack defenses, and that's because the talent matters. So there's just too many question marks along the defense for me to say that they're definitely going to be the number one defense in the league. The safety spot, I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know who's going to fill that part out the corner outside opposite Quinyon Mitchell. I don't know who's going to fill that. I still don't know if Nolan Smith is going to carry over what he did last season, Jalix Hunt, all that same stuff. Jordan Davis is going to be a question mark too. Like, he came into camp looking like he was in great shape. Yeah, but I don't know what that's going to look like either.
Cheeseburgers alone, man.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then I just can't expect Saquon to blow by everybody like he did last season, 2,000 yards. I don't even know what Kevin Bitullo's offense is going to look like. And I think the interesting thing is, if you look at the odds for Super Bowl winning teams, or like the team's odds for a team to win the Super Bowl, the Eagles are third behind Baltimore, behind Buffalo. Like, at least nationally, they're viewed as a team that sort of fell back into that pack of top-tier teams in the NFL. I just need to see a little bit more before I say that they are far and away the best team in the NFL. They're still in a tier of their own going into this year.
Right, and especially that's interesting because you'd imagine in the NFC, the Eagles would have a clearer path to the Super Bowl than those teams in the AFC because that's a stronger conference. And this is coming from somebody who thinks the defense is going to be really good. I do think the defense has a chance to be better than they were last year, but the bottom line, man, they got to go on the field and prove it. I mean, Kelee Ringo, I think he can step in. That being said, we haven't seen Kelee Ringo play consistent snaps at the NFL level yet. He's going to have to show it. Whoever that safety is, whether it's Andrew Mukuba, whether it's Sidney Brown, they've got to show that they can do that at the NFL level. Same thing for those guys up front, like Jordan Davis. It's great that he's come in shape. But we got to see, can he take on more snaps? Can he take on more reps and more responsibility? And Kyle mentioned the Petullo thing there. I think that's the biggest thing this offseason. I mean, the biggest loss for the Eagles, sure, they lost players on defense. Mm-hmm. To me, the biggest loss was Kellen Moore. I thought Kellen Moore did a phenomenal job last year. Kevin Petullo taking over. And I don't, like, it's not fair to say that, look at what happened with Brian Johnson in 2023. It's going to be the same thing this year. They're different coaches. It's a different situation. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that we do have, like, the last time the Eagles lost their coordinator and their play caller, things on the offensive side of the football really fell apart.
Yeah, I feel like you have to go into it this year. Hopefully you have a better understanding, better communication. And Coach Petullo just enhances what they're already doing. You know, because there's going to be some variations in this offense. No question about that. But the core fundamentals of it should stay the same. Now, the way that you get to certain plays and things, I think those have to change. But the familiarity with the
that's a tough word.
Familiarity. I think that's going to be important.
Yeah.
Familiarity.
Well,
familiarity.
There you go.
I guess for me, it's how do the Eagles adjust to the league's adjustment to them, right? Like, who doesn't have the Eagles circled on their calendar right now?
Everybody does. They're the Super Bowl champions.
And if you just look at the schedule based on what we know now, there's not too many tomato cans. So, like, it's going to be a challenge. Everyone's going to give you their best shot. And do the Eagles have a counterpunch? Yeah. I just, you know, like that's something I need to see before I go off and say that they're definitely the best team in the league.
I agree. That's a very old man term from Kyle, by the way. Tomato cans. I feel like you don't hear anybody under the age of 50 say tomato can.
I use it. But, it's, I hear what Kyle's saying, but a lot of the things that we do, well, they do in the NFL, is executing. And being able to run things that you're familiar with and not make mistakes. I think for the most part, that's where the Eagles are going to be. You know, they're going to be consistent in some of the things that they do. They just need to be a little bit more creative in how they decide to do those. Like how you move guys around to get to the formations that you want to get to and confuse the defense that you're playing against. So that's going to be important, just the evolution of this offense and how you get to certain things that you do well.
Are the Eagles in a tier of their own as they enter this season? I say no. I think they got to go on the field and prove it, as a lot of the players have said. I mean, Jordan Mailata said it. Landon Dickerson echoed the same sentiments yesterday that you know, they got to go out on the field and prove it. Last year's last year. And I do think when you look at the roster, sure, they've come back to the pack a little bit. Doesn't mean they're a bad team. They're still, as Kyle said, firmly entrenched in that top tier. But do I think they're in a tier of their own as they ended last season clearly after Super Bowl 59? I don't believe that. Hugh does. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Let's get it started with Chris in Middletown. Hey, Chris.
Happy Fransky Friday, man.
Happy Fransky Friday, Chris. What's going on?
Guys, they're clearly in a league of their own. It's kind of the opposite of that photo, TK, with you and Hugh and Mailata. You were clearly in a...
That was a rough look for me, Chris. I was taking a beating on social media for that one yesterday.
Yeah, it's tough, brother. But, guys, listen, they're the reigning world champion. They're wearing the belt, all right? It's them versus everybody else. So I don't care what you're talking about here. They are clearly a league of their own. And this Baltimore thing, the Baltimore Ravens are the Philadelphia 76ers when it comes to the playoffs. They are the biggest choke artists of all time. They are such a paper tiger. I have no fear of them. I'm not afraid of Buffalo because Buffalo can't even beat Kansas City. So for any national pundit to put Buffalo ahead of Kansas City.
They beat them in the regular season last year.
Yeah.
Kyle, playoffs, Kyle. Okay, let's lock in, Kyle. We're not talking about
I mean, they lost by like a hair in the playoffs. They can't beat Kansas City.
If they got a quarterback sneak, they would have won that game.
Let's stop. I'm not going to argue Buffalo, Kansas City.
Well, you shouldn't.
Well, you just brought it up, Chris.
Kansas City's clearly better. So anyway, let's move it on. Guys, this defense under Coach Fangio is unbelievable. And I love how you poo-poo, like, taking worst to first and acting like it was nothing. And here's the thing. You guys that are ringing the panic bell and, like, you want to jump into the life rafts already, we lost zero. Let me say that again. We lost zero Pro Bowlers in all-pro on defense.
Chris, hang on one second. How is it going for the panic boats to say they're not clearly far and away the number one team in the NFL? How is that panicking?
We lost
it's called reality.
Zero. We lost zero Pro Bowlers and all-pro on both sides of the ball. The offense is even better. Nobody's long in the tooth as far as our major weapons on offense. And who knows what that's like when you fall off the cliff, like when he went down to Jacksonville. Sorry.
Does she do anything for us?
We are going to be – the offense is just as effective, and if not better, because Jalen ended up revising himself in the scheme. He's going to be better. The defense is fine. We loaded up. Nolan Smith took a step forward. Jomo's going to fill in. Milton Williams, everybody that rings the panda, Williams, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, everyone that left sucks, and everyone that we're replacing him with is going to be great.
Coach Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio made Milton Williams. Let's see what Milton Williams does this year up in New England, all right? It's not going to happen. You guys got to relax. And you know what? Speaking of relax, there's some people on this radio station that need relax, and there's some other people out there, these national pundits. I'm done with the national people. J.J. Watt, keep your shade to yourself. Stop throwing it at our boy ESP. You know what? Leave the man alone. He's getting his own shine on, and leave him be. And then Herb yesterday talking about downing an entire cucumber and then finishing up with some meat on the bone.
I'm looking at a threesome.
Guys? We're closing out the first week of the training camp, and it's clear to anybody with a set of eyes, they're in the league of their own. We are EIGLES World Champions!
There you go, Chris. Appreciate the call. Am I losing my mind with people these days? Like, I feel like as a fan base, we got to stop getting offended by everything. Like, I mean, to say they're not in a class of their own is not panicking or being negative about the team. I mean, I think that's regardless of what each of us think, I think that's a reasonable thing to say, that they're not clearly the number one team in the NFL.
I mean, it's okay to talk about it. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But it does seem like nowadays that, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, not saying that you're doing it, but a little bit of hate when it comes to the Eagles, a little bit.
But he's right. Like, it's not hate to say that they are in the top tier of teams. Like, people view it as hate if you don't go completely over the top and say the Eagles and then everybody else. That's hate, apparently.
Art imitating life, though. That's what that basically is. Because it's just funny. You know, like, we talked about the Cam Newton thing and what Cam said. And how it has devolved into personal attacks against Cam.
Well, I mean, like yesterday, I thought I gave a reasonably well-reasoned take about why the Eagles might need to throw the ball more next year. And I got called a hater by like 500 people yesterday. I mean, it's like, calm the hell down,
how dare you say that Jalen Hurts, who everybody thinks is the best quarterback in the league, is going to have to take on a bigger role next season?
I mean, just relax. It's not. I love Jalen Hurts. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. It's not crazy to say they might have to throw the ball more next year.
I disagree with that. I don't think they have to, but I understand your premise.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand your premise.
Well, and I'm not calling you out, Hugh. I'm calling out the people who get offended by every single thing.
I don't get offended by much.
I know.
But it's just unfortunate that we can't have these conversations anymore.
No.
You gotta defend it. And
rage
you gotta,
bait.
Yeah, rage. That's what they call it. Rage bait. Yes.
Yeah, rage bait.
A lot
bait.
Of that going on.
Yeah, how
classic
dare we?
TK.
How dare you say
I'm just
he's not
I'm a rage
top 10 quarterback.
What can I say? 215. I have them six. I do have them in the top 10. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Are the Eagles in a tier of their own still as we head into this season? Your calls on that. Plus, we'll get to something Elliot said in our interview with him yesterday about a potential open roster spot that was interesting. Also, it's Friday, so we'll do a Friday for a side topic with all your calls. That's coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. Alongside Hugh Douglas, it's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Well, there you go. That was head coach Nick Sirianni giving his opening remarks to the team about
Sniff
this
it.
Season.
Don't drink it.
You got to love that, Hugh. I mean, that's a great message to get across.
Nobody.
The players are buying into it.
Don't sniff it. Glue. You should have probably been better if you said glue. You can sniff it. Oh, that's probably even worse.
Yeah, I think it's probably bad either way.
I take that one back. That was stupid. Yeah. You don't sniff glue. You're not supposed to sniff glue.
No, you're not supposed to sniff glue.
I wonder about you sometimes, though.
Yeah. What's you doing during his free time?
Sniffing glue.
Yeah. Tell them they can sniff the glue, but not drink it. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I was trying to
it's early in the morning.
I was trying to put a spin on it. It's Friday.
Yeah, way too early to be sniffing glue.
Come on.
Relax over there, Hugh.
215-592-9494. But I think coach's message is the correct one. I mean, the Eagles not in tier of their own this season. What happened last year, that's last year. That has nothing to do with right now. They need to prove it again. They're not in a tier of their own. Want to know how you feel? Are the Eagles in a tier of their own as we enter this season? I don't think they are. Hugh does still think the Eagles clearly the number one team in the NFL. 215-592-9494. But I think part of the reason why I feel this way is because of the
You're
players.
A hater.
Because I'm like, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Pandering Hugh to the fan base. Just call me a hater. You'll get a ton of support. Yeah, I'm a horrible person.
So horrible
Eagles fan. But the Eagles did lose some pieces on defense. I don't think that's controversial to say. Maybe it is. But one of the big pieces they lost at the safety position, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, no longer here anymore. And I thought this stood out from the conversation that we had yesterday with Elliot when talking about who could possibly fill that void. Here was Elliot's answer on the front runner at the safety position right now.
My honest answer is, and I hate to normally give this, and I honestly hate when people say it, but I don't think the starting safety is on the roster. I think there's a good chance you're going to see them go out and acquire a safety because I don't think it'll be Sydney. Makuba, that's a tough ask to start week one. And again, we have a full month, so we'll see. But I think in base it would be Cooper, and then they would probably go to Makuba, but I think the safety's not on the roster.
That's interesting, Hugh, because, I mean, we're a month away from the season now, and I know this was the case in 2022, I guess, when the Eagles made the trade for CJ during training camp, but... I mean, that would concern me in terms of, like, the confidence level that they have in the guys that are on the roster right now.
Well, yeah, you got to give them a chance, though, TK. You got these guys. You want to see how they're going to work out. I think as we meander through training camp and, you know, you move guys around trying to see if you can move Cooper DeJean to the safety spot, how he does the checks and, you know, when you change the defense, how everybody lines up and everything. I think then you have a better idea about what's going on. I saw some stuff people were talking about a couple days ago where they're talking about who looks good in training camp already. It's a little early for that. Like, I think that the first couple of days of training camp, you want to go in and just see who has retained the basics. You know, that when I think of training camp, the first couple of days are just who has retained the basic fundamentals of the defense. And then every day, you add a little bit more and you have a little bit more defensive install and things of that nature. And you move guys around just to see how guys are going to react and communicate in the backfield. Then you add a little bit more. And then I do believe that there was even times where we would run stuff that we didn't practice for the day just to see who knew what was going on. So I think right now it's a little bit early to say who's here and who's not here because you want to see how these guys react to certain situations that you have. And a lot of times, especially with the Eagles, as fans, we're not going to see when they really get into the meat and potatoes of what they want to do, we're not going to be there for that. They're not going to allow us to see that practice.
Right. And we'll see. I mean, maybe a guy like Makuba or Sidney Brown could step into that role, but I do think it speaks to the fact that this team's not what they were last year on paper. I mean, they're not the same team. They did lose pieces. I mean, they lost half their secondary. Now, they might be able to be all right because Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, great young players. Reed Blankenship, I think he's a really good safety at this level. But there are spots on this roster that have changed. And I think before we just, you know, pronounce that the Eagles are going to be the same team they were last year, that all the guys they're replacing, the guys that they lost with, are going to be great, I think we need to see it. So I want to get your take on that. Are the Eagles in a tier of their own as we enter this season? Do you just immediately pencil them in the top because they won the Super Bowl last year? I don't think you can do that. 215-592-9494. In a few minutes, we'll get to our try day for this Friday. But first, Let's go to the phones. OG Wade, what's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What's going on, man?
TK, let me ask you a question.
What's up?
Jaden Daniels, right? You have him. Where you got him ranked at?
I have him ranked at 5.
Okay. Over Jalen Hurts, correct?
I have Jalen ranked 6.
Here we go.
Yeah, right. It's close.
That's off of one year of good play, right?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels was awesome last year.
So you see the contradiction? You said you can't rank the Eagles on a tier they own off of one good year. But you can take Jaden Daniels and put him over a Super Bowl winning MVP.
Well,
I'm not putting him
in a tier of his own, OG. And this is the thing. Jaden Daniels is still Jaden Daniels. Like, the Eagles roster is not the same roster. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, no, I don't, because Jaden Daniels there's no guarantee Jaden Daniels is going to be the Jaden Daniels that you've seen last year.
Well, there's no guarantee, but it's my list. It's what I think.
You heard it.
Am I not allowed to make my own list?
No. The truth, DK.
I'm just letting you know the hypocrisy in your list. You.
There's no hypocrisy. It's my opinion. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and your opinion obviously sucks, but I'm just saying.
Kind of cooked you there.
let me do this here. And Kyle, I think Kyle's mustache weighs his brain down. And I think
personal
attacks.
People have said that.
Kyle says that we don't even know what the coordinator's offense is going to look like.
But we don't.
We don't. That's fair take.
Let me say, y'all guys been on this show, WIP, for a very long time. Y'all don't realize that the Eagles' offense never changed?
Well, it's not true.
What are you talking about?
What do you think happened in 22 to 23?
The offense was totally different last year than it was in 2023.
Shane Steichen left here, our offense has never changed.
Yes, it has.
OG, we've spent the whole offseason talking about how much they ran the ball last year as opposed to what they did in 2023.
You got to understand, running the ball is still within the offense that they run. They're just running the play more than throwing it.
Let me help you out, OG. They're running it more. It's more effective. It's more effective.
Yeah, that's it. It's not the plays aren't different. We're here for each other. AJ Brown said that the offense is what Jalen wants it to be. It doesn't matter what offensive coordinator is there. Now, he's calling the play, but when Jalen gets the call in, he's the one that makes the actual decision what they're going to do in that play.
Okay, OG.
On that down.
OG, that's fine. But this is what I want from you, okay? I want to make a deal with you here. If you're going to say this, and you're going to say the offense doesn't change, Jalen's offense, whatever, you better not call up and complain one time about Kevin Petullo or about the offensive play calls, about any of that stuff, okay?
I would never do that, TK. No. That's
okay,
not what
yeah.
I do. I mean,
you would
only
never
people
do that.
That don't really know the game will complain about a play call. No, the play call is the call, and the player's got to execute.
Have I not heard? Am I living in an alternate universe? Have you not called up and complained about the lack of continuity that Jalen's had? You haven't done that before?
No, I've never done that. Never.
We definitely never heard that he's had a different OC every year.
Exactly.
Because I understand the game.
Okay.
You guys got to understand the game. You can't just put players on the field and miraculously they just go out there and do what you like. It's PlayStation. It's not that. It's situational football. You guys got to understand whatever the situation is in that moment is what the Eagles going to do to better themselves or to win that down. You don't go out there and just throw the ball just because you didn't throw it last year, and everybody might figure
that's
out what you're
not
doing.
What I said.
What the Eagles are doing is a mystery. Don't you know teams watch tape on the Eagles all season long
yes.
and try to stop them and can't stop them?
And it's different during the and OG, I appreciate your call. It's different during the course of a season than an offseason when teams have 6 months to look at all the tape.
Hold on a second. He said the offense has never changed. What does he think happened in the bye week this year?
I don't know. I sometimes with OG, I just can't do it. They changed the offense in season.
What
after
happened
the first four?
And
games.
What happened in 22-23?
Yeah, the offense changed.
I know it did.
Yeah, I know. I'm just.
Of
I
course,
lose my
changed.
Mind sometimes. It's just like what games does OG watch that we're not watching?
4-point system.
4-point. 4-point.
What does the 4-point system mean again?
I forgot.
Okay.
You asked I think it's the O-line versus their D-line, yeah. The D-line versus RO-line. I forget what the other
that's
two
an OG yeah. Staple.
I okay. still don't know what happens if it's 2-2, though. There's only 4 points.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's a tie. I need a break. Let's do a little try-day on this Friday.
It's a try-day Friday.
It's try-day, try-day, Hugh and Jill on Fridays.
Now, try-day today. Now, the last time I was in a couple weeks ago, we did bad songs.
Bad songs.
So today what we're going to do...
We didn't really get a good... Like, the people really didn't give the really bad songs, though, because there's some out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them out there.
This is a good one that, you know, this one's based off of the Friday one that Kyle played. But today we're going to do bad movies. And I hope that this movie's not bad, the one that comes out tonight, Happy Gilmore 2. Happy Gilmore.
Oh, it premieres tonight.
It premieres today. I think it's on Netflix, right now,
yeah.
Man. There you go. Your Friday night, go home, have a gummy, and watch Happy Gilmore 2.
You know what, man? To be honest.
Or huff some glue and watch Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah, or do all three.
Gotta,
really have a crazy
gotta
night.
Love that glue.
You's going to have a gummy, sniffing glue, watching Happy Gilmore 2.
You know what? I think they waited too long to do Happy Gilmore 2. I don't know. Does anybody else feel that way?
It's because, like 30 years.
Yeah, I think they waited too long.
Happy Gilmore, the original was 96.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not really into it.
I'm not either.
You know what I mean? It's like you're playing to my age demographic.
Right.
You know, and it's like, do we really want to watch that? Do I really want to sit down? Am I really excited to see Happy Gilmore 2? I remember Netflix did the Beverly Hills Cop. They rebooted that. Man, I sat there and watched Axel Foley go back to L.A. and I turned it off. I'm like, I don't really – it was – They missed the timing. They missed the window.
Well, it's one of those that I think it's going to be bad, but I got to watch it. Like, the first Happy Gilmore was, like, one of my favorite movies of childhood. So I know I'm definitely going
to... Bob Barker ain't going to be in it?
Well, yeah, Bob Barker.
Well, he can't be in it. Apollo Creed ain't going to be in it.
Unless they filmed some scenes before
CGI.
They passed. I don't know. Yeah, they put hologram Carl Weathers in there. That movie debuts today on Netflix. But what we're doing today is bad movies for Try-Day Friday. And the one I'll throw out to start, this is, I think, in honor of Adam Sandler, is obviously a star of Happy Gilmore 2. I think this is the worst Adam Sandler movie ever. Little Nicky. Have you guys ever seen Little Nicky?
When he's a little devil?
Yeah, he's the son of Satan.
You know what's funny?
It's a terrible movie.
I was thinking about that because he was in there going butterflies when he was doing the butter. Yeah.
It's a bad movie. But kind of entertaining.
But he had a nice run. When he was making that movie, he probably made some money behind it. He had a nice run.
Well, I think that was coming off. He had Billy Madison, you know, Happy Gilmore, Big Daddy, and then I think Little Nicky was when it started to, you know, fade.
I'm Happy Gilmore, too. Who's in that? Travis Kelce, right? I think he's in the movie.
Ed Kelsey's in it, I saw.
His dad?
Yeah.
I mean, I would watch the parts that they're in. But that's probably about it.
What do you have for your Try-Day Friday bad movie, Hugh?
See, since I've been watching Tubi, there's so many bad movies to choose from.
What's the one called? Memphganistan?
Memphganistan. No. Let me tell you. Give me a moment because I got a movie for you. Okay. And I can't think of the name, but it's this little dude, right? He's a little dude. And he's like James Bond, right? And he's doing karate. I gotta think of the name, but it's a super bad movie. And I watched it on Tubi the other day. He's like a little action hero, but he's like
What's this movie
four
called?
4 foot tall. I forgot the name of the movie. I'm about to find it. Give me a moment.
All right. My bad.
Give me a moment because I got Tubi on my app now because I got Tubi on my phone.
Oh, my God. We need to have a Tubi intervention.
No, I'm saying Tubi. Some of the movies on Tubi, man, you got to watch them for the believability factor. Like some of the stuff that they do, some of the bad like makeup that they have and stuff, it's must-see TV. It really is.
All right. Well, we'll get back to you for the name of that one. What do you have, Kyle, for your Friday Friday bet?
Can I give you 11 of them?
11?
Yeah, 11. I looked it up, made sure that there was this amount of them. Any Fast and Furious movie, I cannot even be bothered to start.
Yeah.
That stuff is so over the top, cheesy, and ridiculous. I can't take it.
I'll disagree on the first one. The first one's legitimately a good movie, nope. I think. You don't think so?
I found the name.
What is it?
It's called For Your Height Only, and it's for Y. Hyphen you are height only, and the dude's
what?
About yeah.
Okay,
he's like, dude, it's a terrible.
It's about a short superhero. I can get behind that.
Like, listen, dude,
it's an inspirational story.
It's a lot because he's kicking ass and taking names.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, I've never heard.
Really,
of that
just any movie with like Vin Diesel or The Rock in it.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna start.
Funny things about the Fast and the Furious movies. If you think about it, if you watch them in chronological order, you watch how Vin Diesel just gave up working out every movie even more. Like the
less
first movie,
muscular,
he was,
more fat.
No, I'm saying first movie he was all D's. The next movie he was like, I'm not gonna work out that much. Then the third movie he's like, Then the rest of them, he's like, oh, forget it.
The BMI gets higher every movie.
I'm gonna take your word for it because I'm not even gonna watch him.
Yeah.
He got super fat. He got real big.
I think I've only seen the first two, but I don't know. I thought the first one was good. But you want to get in, give us a Friday Friday bad movie today with Happy Gilmore 2 coming out today on Netflix. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Derek and Paoli. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Listen, I'm gonna have to go against you, Hugh. I think the Eagles are in the mix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only because, right, I feel like last year our defense was good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like they were timely, right? What does that mean?
Yeah, I know what you said. They got hot at the right, yeah.
We got hot, but I thought we just made plays at the right
time. Everything bounced your way.
There were plenty of games where the defense had us on the edge of our seat. Like, we can go to Carolina. If that one kid catches the ball, we could go to Jacksonville with N'Kobe's interception in the end zone. Like, Washington moved the ball crazy on us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like...
I mean, Jalen Carter in the playoff game, Derek. He doesn't make that play.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even against the Redskins, like, you know, forcing a fumble on the kickoff and all that. Like, the defense was timely, and I felt like teams did move the ball against us. So I just feel like losing what we lost, for me, I just need to see what these other guys can do once they get in there, because it's not like Vic Fangio is coming in here as, you know, the greatest, you know, defensive coordinator that we've seen. He's, like Kyle said, he's kind of in the middle. So this is a proven year for him, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, and he's a damn good coordinator. There's no question about it. But I think you're right, Derek. Like, I don't think we can just look at the guys they lost and say, oh, it's automatic these other guys will step in. I'm confident they will. Like, I'm hopeful they will. But, I mean, you lose one of your starting corners, man. Like, I think we, especially with Slay, I don't think we, you know, talk enough about how well he played last year. And you're replacing a 10-year-plus vet with a young guy in Kelee Ringo. I mean, that could potentially be a big loss for this defense.
Yeah, and like you guys say, like I said, I think we're a good team. We're going to be in it to win it and all that. But I just feel like when you win the Super Bowl, man, like, everybody has you circled. So,
oh, yeah, they're gunning for you, for sure.
Do I expect them to be in it? You know, we'll be one of the last teams standing, hopefully. But I'm anxious to see, like, how we look against, you know, Dak, first game of the year. Like, the Cowboys are going to come here looking to do some things to us. And we got to answer that bell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
no.
The schedule
won't
get no easier from there. So, between Jalen and the defense, we need to see some sort of something, because Saquon getting 2,000 yards every year is not going to happen every year. So.
Yeah, no question about it, Derek. What's your Friday Friday movie today?
Worst movie I ever saw, man. I had took me and one of my friends to go see it, man. We both walked out the theater with that movie with Kevin Hart, Get Hard. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. With Will Ferrell, too? Or?
Yeah, Will Ferrell,
Kevin Hart. That draw was trash.
Well, there you go, Derek. Appreciate the call. I feel like Kevin Hart, can he kind of go in the Rock Diesel category?
I was just about to say that. Yeah, he's squarely in that category.
Bad, yeah.
You think so?
I think so. I don't know, man. I'm out on Kevin
Hart. See, I haven't seen a real... No, I haven't seen one.
There's just too much.
I haven't been seen any of his movies.
You think Kevin Hart's been a little overexposed? I think that's kind of a rhetorical question.
I think he's funny. I don't know.
Just all over the place, man. It's like, give it a break.
I mean,
take a day off.
Get that money. If they're willing to pay him, I mean, he's doing a lot. He's doing a lot, but I don't know about overexposed because, I mean, he's winning.
I think when I bailed on Kevin Hart was when he tried to, get up on the stage after the Super Bowl.
Come on, man. Hold on.
Big time Eagles fan, though.
Don't tap dance around it, Hugh. Kevin Hart is way overexposed. He's one of the top five most overexposed people of all time.
Let me tell you one thing that I've learned a long time. Because, as a matter of fact, I learned this because Kevin Hart kind of roasted me. You don't want to talk bad about a comedian because they got jokes for days. They really do. So I don't care.
What's he going to roast? You and I for saying that he's overexposed.
He roasted me one time. He told me my lips was dry.
Well, that's the thing.
Told me I need to lick my lips.
Kyle and I aren't famous enough for Kevin Hart to care. Hugh maybe is.
I'm a little nervous because I got a couple friends that are comedians, man. And when you get they talk bad about you.
You're really worried about getting roasted when our clips go on social media, like YouTube and Twitter, all the time.
A little bit.
And what the people say about us. Nobody can hurt me.
Listen, I can play the dozens with the average individual. I can go toe to toe with them. It's just a little different when you pick with a comedian.
Yeah.
Because they got them in the chamber.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, I tread lightly when it comes to comedians.
He's very worried about getting roasted.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of which, I'm already dreading you people today at 1:45.
Yeah, they about to let you have it.
My wife actually heard you people yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, and she was...
not a fan?
She was blown away by the...
by how mean they are?
How mean people can be, yeah. Please, bring in your mean suggestions. I don't care.
That's filtered out, by the way. The ones that we read.
I can imagine.
mean ones.
Yeah. I can imagine what the mean ones look like.
Yeah, what jobs would I look like I do today? 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get to a couple reports about the Phillies at the deadline in the next segment. Bad movies for Friday and your calls on the Eagles. Are they still in a tier of their own? Tom Kelly for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.